This is the Maggie Dawn Show on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. My name is Jim Santel. I host a program on Saturday mornings called Amicus Alaro. We're going to be talking this coming weekend about some trends inside the judiciary involving the actions of federal district court judges and appellate court judges. Some of them may be defying Supreme Court justices along the way. We're also going to be talking about inside the Department of Justice, a reputation that the department is increasingly experiencing when it comes to engagements with that same judiciary. That is coming up this Saturday. Right now, I am delighted. I am honored to call into our discussion here on the Maggie Dawn Show another friend, a colleague, an affiliate, an associate of mine. His name is Dean Muller. Dean is the president and the consultant, the leader, the driver of a wonderful initiative called the Wisconsin for Environmental Justice Program Initiative Drive, and in particular, focusing upon the fossil fuel industry here in the state of Wisconsin, the notion of using tort claims, that's right, tort litigation, in state courts to secure funds to address environmental issues here in the state of Wisconsin. It is an important focus. It is a tremendously creative and innovative and energized and systemic way of approaching some of the environmental issues here. And Dean Muller, so pleased to have him a part of our broadcast this afternoon. Dean is in charge of that initiative with a steering committee. Great members. Dean Muller, thank you and welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show here on Civic Media.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for having me. Delighted to be here.
Outstanding. So, Dean, you have been advocating in this area for a while. I want my listeners to learn more about you, where this initiative comes from. Why is it that it has attracted your attention in particular? What inside you compels you to do this? And why this particular theory and this particular strategy going forward? What animates you, my friend?
Well, I guess the short, quick answer I could say is that, you know, I was asked to head up this organization, and I'm not very good at saying no. But particularly with respect to social justice issues, I have had a long career of working in that area. I come from more the business side of things, the business management, the investment field. Back at the time, certainly very unique from the standpoint that I certainly catered to those types of individuals that wanted their portfolios invested in a more socially responsible manner. That led me to working with a lot of institutions. I was asked by Milwaukee County way back when they wanted to divest from South Africa. And so I assisted them in accomplishing that. The Library Foundation here in Milwaukee was another institution that wanted to do that. So I facilitated that. So that's typically viewed as kind of the avoidance. You avoid stocks that you don't want to invest in.
Right.
Now, the other approach is activism, stockholder activism. And I had the good fortune of working with Father Michael Crosby, a Capuchin priest at St. Ben's. And one of the things he focused on was stockholder activism. And if you can all recall back to when there was such a thing as Joe Camel. And Joe Camel was cool. He smoked, and it was a cartoon character. And more kids knew about Joe Camel than Mickey Mouse. Mm. That's how powerful that ad campaign was. It was on for like 8 years. And Father Mike, I helped him pretty much. I was the single force in getting the tobacco industry to stop running those ads. And of course, then there was a tobacco settlement that came out of that that settled in the year 2000. And the last thing that he was able to accomplish before he passed away was getting a scientist on the Exxon board. So It was indeed a pleasure to work with him. So that's has been my background, my affliction, my DNA, whatever. And so consequently, this leads me to this. And I am retired. I've often say that I'm old, and that's one of my chief criteria for doing this. I can remember when it was much better in Wisconsin in terms of its weather, and it's still beautiful, but the winters aren't like they used to be, and I think we can all identify that, even going back 5 and 10 years ago. I am not an attorney, not a scientist, not an engineer, and certainly some of those are some of the key aspects of something that is involved as this is, which is certainly a lot of hard science and. When we talk about infrastructure, the impact that climate change has had on our infrastructure is certainly very significant, and being knowledgeable about that. Yes, I have certainly tried to educate myself to a very high level to be prepared. to work very diligently with elected officials to accomplish what we're about to do. So I think it's a very important exercise to be involved in. To be quite honest, I just can't go to bed early and pretend it's not happening.
So, concerned about the future of your state, the future of our nation, right? And
absolutely. And I have, two adult children and four lovely granddaughters. And what will their world be like as it continues to change as rapidly as is? I mean, I've just heard on this station, we've now at 23 days of Canadian smoke, and we can't blame the Canadians for that. Mm-hmm. It is a function of climate change, and I do get I'm kind of like that uncle that you have to invite to the Thanksgiving table who because he's family, but he comes there with this host of conspiracy type things spewing out. No, I'm coming there saying we should have a conversation over the Thanksgiving table or any table about climate change and ask the question, why is that?
Why is this happening?
With climate change, yes, but why is climate change happening? Well, right. we lead it to the source, which is the fossil fuel industry and our extensive use of that non-renewable resource. You know, we extract a resource that was put under the ground 150 million years ago. Just think about that, 150 million years ago, and we extract it. And we put a match to it. That's the coal, gas, and oil. And it releases enormous amounts of carbon into the atmosphere. And actually, it only operates at about 15% efficiency. So I realize that's the system we have. And it has provided us with a significant quality, a standard of living that is unparalleled. But nevertheless, the consequences are
consequences. Yeah.
And that's what we need to start to have the conversation about, and that's where it starts, is a conversation about it and connecting those dots and then coming to the realization of what we might begin to do about it.
Right. And so connecting some of those dots, exactly, Dean, is focusing on the fossil fuel industry. You had a report that came out last summer that indicated there's fossil fuels cause about $16 billion with a B, in climate-related mediation costs, state of Wisconsin alone. And 70% of those costs falling directly on local governments as well. Right. Tell us about some of the findings and why those statistics and why that also animates the work that you and others do with Wisconsin for Environmental Justice.
Well, the study is comes from a lot of data that's out there, and it was collected and put into one place. So it's one report. There's actually 66 different categories that could have gone into the report. The report just focused on basically 13, one of the more expensive. Are high ticket categories. I mean, some people are somewhat surprised when they see the report. Obviously, we're talking about, you know, flood mitigation and those sorts of things. But, you know, tree canopy ranks very high, that we need to plant more trees. And obviously, that takes CO2 out of the environment, and it also provides shade for our buildings. We need to install air conditioning in more public buildings because they're not air conditioned. And some of this is a little bit, you know, we're not talking about in this particular study, you know, build more solar panels or anything of that sort. It was just basic remediation, roads, bridges, those sorts of things. As I said, air conditioning is one of the things. Cooling centers, we need more of those and so forth. We're seeing those types of indications already. And at my request, they included some health issues, which had to do with the increase in the tick population, the mosquito population, and the health effects that come from that. So that's, and the powerful thing about this study, is that we can extract data from this particular report, and we can apply it to individual cities and counties. We can apply it to villages, to townships, so that they can see specifically what their cost will be. And as you mentioned quite correctly, 70% of the cost does fall on cities and counties. It only makes sense because they're the ones responsible for the majority of the infrastructure. And that's a compelling part of the report. So we use it as a very important educational tool to talk to elected officials about the rising costs that they're going to be experiencing. And of course, I think we would all agree that budgets for state and local at the county and city level are very, very strained. They are running on empty. And consequently, they will need more revenue. And I think this is our bottom line goal, is to create create an ongoing revenue stream for cities and counties, which is desperately needed by them. And we, you know, we would hope that elected officials would see that and want to do that, because the other source of revenue is us, the taxpayers. Right. And fundamentally, what we're doing here is we're shifting the cost to those who are responsible.
Absolutely, which is a fundamental notion of rule of law out there, right? And so let's get into that. Let's talk a little bit about the legal theories. Again, they don't have to be lawyers to understand this, not judges, but the notion is tort claims, right? Tort litigation. Right. I think you're proposing this principally in state courts. And the notion is that because the fossil fuel industry identified with particular entities out there causing the damage, again, principally to localities, municipalities you've described, responsible for that. And so the municipality is saying, all right, you have damaged us in that infrastructure you just described, Dean. And therefore, we are seeking monies from you to repair that, to make us whole again, a judgment. And we can then use those monies to do just that, but it involves this, again, not novel litigation by any means, tort litigation. Tort, of course, meaning wrong, happens all the time in our state courts, our federal courts as well. Talk with us more about that particular strategy and the notion, again, I think that's fascinating, that this does not have to be federal litigation, doesn't have to be comprehensive litigation across the state of Wisconsin. You can go into a particular area, as you just said, and identify the problem, focus on that problem, and bring that tort litigation in that particular venue. Tell us more about your particular vision for that and how that would work.
Well, I think that the approach we've taken, as I said, is extrapolating the data from the overall report, putting that on a page, basically making some comparisons for them. So maybe your budget for a particular city is 1x, and maybe the cost of its remediation is 1x as well. So obviously that's a very impactful relationship of numbers that needs to be looked at seriously. And of course, I realized one of the challenges we face with this is that this is an easy thing to put off and pretend it's not going to happen, not that quickly. And that's been a chief culprit of people taking action on this issue, whether it's through this approach that we're taking or through other types of action with respect to climate change, because it is such a slow moving train wreck. But it is a serious train wreck. There's no question about that. Right. So, yes, these are some of the things we talk about with elected officials. But, yes, that has been an ongoing strategy with us to talk to different elected officials at all levels, at all parts of the state, with respect to how we can approach this problem.
And to advocate with them and for them, right?
I can't emphasize enough the fact that this is, like you've alluded to already quite correctly, that this is not a far off problem. This is a grassroots problem that can be dealt with locally.
Right. And Dean, when we come back, I'm going to ask you more about how people can get involved, how you implement this, what your steering committee is all about, your membership is all about. I know you've got some recently rearticulated missions and some strategies. We want to chat about all of that when we come back. We'll do that right here on the Maggie Dawn Show.